Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 39. Naitan manastava katasu vikuntanata sampriyate durita dushtam asaduti vram Kamaturam harshad sloka bayaisha nartam. Tasmin katam tavagatim vim rishrami dinaha. Na, certainly not. Etat, this. Manaha, mind. Tava, your. Katasu, in transcendental topics. Vikuntanata, O Lord of Vaikuntha, where there is no anxiety. Sampriyate, is pacified or interested in. Durita, by sinful activities. Dushtam, polluted. Asadu, dishonest. Tivram, very difficult to control. Kama aturam, always full of different desires and lusty propensities. Harsha Shoka, sometimes by jubilation and sometimes by distress. Baya, and sometimes by fear. Aishana, and by desiring. Artam, distress. Tasmin, in that mental status. Katam, how. Tava, your. Katim, transcendental activities. Vimrishami, I shall consider and try to understand. Dina, who am most fallen and poor. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Oh my Lord, oh my dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty. Being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distress. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, is always seeking more and more money. Thus it has become most polluted and is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I am therefore most fallen and poor. In such a status of life, how shall I be able to discuss your activities? Where's the word for money in here? What's that? Dinner. So it sounds like Serbian money. What's that? Yeah, maybe this took place in Serbia this past. Purport. Here, Prahlad Maharaj represents himself as a common man, although he actually has nothing to do with this material world. Prahlad is always situated in the Vaikuntha planets of the spiritual world, and on behalf of the fallen souls, he asks how, when his mind is always disturbed by material things, he can discuss the transcendental position of the Lord. The mind becomes sinful because we are always engaged in sinful activities. Anything not connected with Krishna consciousness should be understood to be sinful. Indeed, Krishna demands in the Bhagavad Gita, 1866, Sarva dharma vritta jam ame kam sharnam vraja ahang kang sarva papebhyo mokshi syamima suchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. As soon as one surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Krishna immediately relieves one of the reactions of sinful activities. Therefore, one who is not surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord should be understood to be sinful, foolish, degraded among men, and bereft of all real knowledge because of atheistic propensities. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 7:15. Namam diskriti no muda rupadyante naradama maya pritigyana asuram bhavamashitya. Therefore, especially in this age of Kali, the mind must be cleansed, and this is possible only by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Cheto darpanam archanam. In this age, the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the only method by which to cleanse the sinful mind. When the mind is completely cleansed of all sinful reactions, one can then understand his duty in the human form of life. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to educate sinful men so they may become pious simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama Va Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gandhiranyata. Cleanse the heart so that one may become softer and wise in this age of Kali. Oh, I'm sorry. To cleanse the heart so that one may become sober and wise in this age of Kali, there is no value to any other method other than chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Prahlad Maharaj has confirmed this process in the previous verse. Previous verses. Period. Because now we're going to go into another verse. Twadviryagayana mahamrita magnachitak. We haven't got up to that verse yet. Prahlad further confirms that if one's mind is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, that very qualification will purify one and keep one purified always. To understand the Lord and his activities, one must free his mind from all contamination in the material world. And this one can achieve by simply chanting the Lord's holy name. Thus one becomes free from all material bondage. Naitan manastava katasu vaikuntanata sampriyate durita dushtamasarutivram kamaturam harsha shoka bayai shanaratam tasmin gatam tavagatam vim rishi virishami dinaha. My dear Lord, of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, as though it seeks more and more money. Thus it has become most polluted, is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I am therefore most fallen and poor in such a status of life. How shall I be able to discuss your activities? Well, obviously, Prabhupada's not trying to win a popularity contest here. Especially in this age of relativism, where everyone thinks that their opinion is equally valid with everyone else's opinion, where any time you say anything is absolute, it's subjected to all kinds of criticism. As a matter of fact, if you're teaching at a university and you actually have an opinion, then they'll fire you. Because everything, the only opinion is that everyone's opinion is equally valid. But as Prabhupada once said, he said, in our opinion, we're good and everyone else is bad. So go out and tell that to people on the street. See how much they appreciate it. Actually, most people think they're good and everyone else is bad, but they don't say that, that's all. Because that's how good they think they are. Simply they don't tell everyone else how bad they think they are. But here it says that anyone who doesn't remember Krishna must be sinful. So that means we can find out if we're sinful or not. Just pick up your bead bag and chant around. And if you remember anything other than Krishna, then you must be sinful. Sinful means subjected to the influence of the modes of material nature. And according to Bhagavad Gita, Dumena Vriyate Vanir, Itardar Shobalena Cha, Itobana Avrita Garvas, Tatate Nevam Avritam. Just like fire is covered by smoke, or the mirror is covered by the dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, so living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. Calm. And we can understand, how do we feel that? What does lust feel like? Kama-esha, krodha-esha. No. Avritam gyan-etena, gyan-no-nityavarina, kama-rupena kundaya, dusprena, analena-cha. Thus the man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied, and which burns like fire. So that burning like fire, people have designated as love. And if people aren't feeling lusty, they feel very depressed. So they go from passion to ignorance. But actually, one is supposed to avoid trivida narakasyedam dwaram nashitam atmanaha kama krodha tata lobas tasmad etam trayam chajet. There are three gates leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. And every sane person should become free from these three gates, because they lead to the degradation of the self. Now, if you try to restrain someone in this age from going to hell, they'll become very angry at you. Matter of fact, it's probably punishable by the law to try to stop someone from going to hell. And if you help someone go to hell, then you're rewarded some kind of title. If you teach at a university and teach all nonsense, that the whole purpose of life is to have as much sense gratification as possible. In order to do that, you have to make as much money as possible. And that's why you're at the university, that's the absolute truth. Make money and enjoy your senses. Chintyam apareyam cha palayantam upashitya kama papoga paramam etavam iti nischita asya pashu suterabhada kama krodha parayana ihanti kama bogartam anyena inartha sanjaya. They believe to gratify the senses until the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization. And therefore there could be no measurement for their anxiety. Being bound by hundreds and thousands of desires, by lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. So we can see that in modern society, everyone is either one of these four categories, either a mudha, or a diskritina, or a naradama, or a maya pritigyana, or an asaram bhavam ashitya. So Prabhupada said, as soon as you meet someone, and they're not a devotee of Krishna, you can put them into one of these four categories. The majority of people are mudhas, and there's a few naradamas. And the so-called maya pritigyanas, they have no knowledge, so they can't. Of course, they don't even try to pretend that they're learned. They just, learned means that they have some knowledge in the Vedas and they distort it. They have no knowledge, really. And the Asuram Bhavamashityas, they're very small little demons nowadays compared to Hiranyakashipu and Ravana and others. In any case, the majority of the people are Shudras. In ignorance. They have no idea who they are. They identify themselves 100% with their body. And their whole life is simply lamentation. Running after the carrot, like the ass, with the carrot at the end of its nose, pulling a heavy burden, thinking one more step and I'll get the carrot. And all they do is work. And at the end of the day, the watchman takes the heavy load off its back and lets it eat the grass at its feet. The grass is always there at his feet, wherever it was going. But the ass actually thinks, the washerman is actually being very generous. Now that he's allowing me to eat the grass. So it was worth pulling that heavy load. He doesn't realize if he didn't have that heavy load, he could have just bent down and eat the grass anyhow. But that's called mudha. So in Kali Yuga, there's no dharma. People don't know the aim of life. Nitevidu swarthakitim hi vishnu. They don't know that the aim of life is to obtain Vishnu or Krishna. They don't know that they're eternally related to Krishna and that whatever they see around them is Krishna's gift. But because they're defying Krishna, therefore material nature is taking everything away from them. They think the more they defy Krishna, the more they'll achieve. But the only thing that they're achieving is becoming more and more bound up by the modes of material nature. Since they don't know the aim of life is to attain Krishna, they're being cheated by the people who have slightly more material intelligence than they do, known as the Naradamas. So Prabhupada said, in this age, there's no religiosity. People don't know what the aim of religion is, or what really religion is. And there's no conception of liberation. They're not trying to get free from their material conception of life. They're trying to become absorbed in it more and more. So there's no dharma, there's no moksha. There's only intense economic development for so-called sense gratification. But at the end of the day, all they get is one drop of water in the desert. As Govinda Das says, in that prayer I just sang, you know, it's just like during it, Bajahure Mana, Shinanda Nanana, Abhayachara, just take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, my dear mind. Otherwise, it's just, we're just getting one drop of the water in a desert. Sita Atapa Bata Parishana. I'm suffering endless nights, sleepless nights, the wind and the rain, simply for chapagala sukha labare, just for an insignificant amount of sense gratification, one drop in the desert. But people don't know that, and therefore they suffer, because andaya tandira upigayamanas te pisha tantra urudami bara, because they have too much association with people who are and the lowest categories, materialistic people. And at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yaida nata nachate. What does he say? Idamte nata paskaya, nabhaktaya kadachana, nachashushushave vacham, nachamam yobasuyate. That this Bhagavad Gita should not be spoken to those who are not austere, or devoted, or engaged in devotional service, or to one who is envious of me. And guess who these people are? They're the Naradamas that Krishna explains previously. Krishna is quite consistent in his philosophy. Those who are envious of him, those who are not austere, or devoted, or engaged in devotional service. So, these people never accept Krishna. Most people, however, Prabhupada said, they appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually they have no knowledge of philosophy. So if the common man simply hears about Krishna from the right source and somehow or another develops the right attitude, then he can actually make some spiritual advancement. Part of it is, as Prahlad Maharaj expresses here, one has to be a little humble. If we think we're great and everyone else is insignificant, then it's going to be very hard to see any example to follow, to make any advancement. And if we don't see anyone to follow, then we'll think we're the greatest. So the most advanced devotee thinks they're the most fallen, and the least advanced devotee thinks they're the greatest. There's no one greater than me. There's no one to listen to follow. I don't have to surrender to anyone. Because I'm already above everyone. It would be degrading for me to follow anyone or to surrender to anyone because I know everything. And anyone who doesn't know that I know everything must not know anything. Very simple logic. The only difference between me and Krishna is that he's on the altar and I'm here. I'm more active. He's taking a break and I'm doing all the work. But Prahlad Maharaj doesn't think like that. He's actually humble. And because he's humble, he's always taking shelter of Krishna and Krishna's representatives. And therefore, Krishna is always giving him mercy, because he's always asking for mercy. Why will Krishna give him anyone mercy? Krishna said, would you like some mercy? Oh, I don't think I need any mercy today, Krishna. Maybe tomorrow. Things are going pretty well, you know. But if one is actually thinking, I'm in desperate need of Krishna's mercy, then Krishna will desperately give us his mercy. So we're not being trained to think, well, fair weather friends of Krishna, when everything is going well, then I don't need Krishna. Only when things get rough, then I pray to Krishna, help me, save me. And then, thanks a lot, Krishna, I'll see you later. I'll be back for Janmashtami. Just to let you know, I'm still around, so. Therefore, the conclusion is that we should be careful, at least more careful, so that we should see where our mind is going. Now, there are actually thoughts that are within the realm of Krishna consciousness. And they're all positive. And there are thoughts which are in the realm of material energy, in the three modes. So we have to learn how to differentiate what's the thought in the three modes and what's the thought in Krishna consciousness. And we should try to think in Krishna consciousness. And if we think in Krishna consciousness, then we'll make spiritual advancement. And then our activities will become devotional. And if we get caught up in thoughts which are non-devotional in the three modes, then the result is we'll act in the material energy and we'll gradually become influenced by the, well, we will become influenced by the material energy. And by Krishna's mercy, since we're aspiring to be devotees, Krishna will torture us until we give up those thoughts. Until we finally surrender. So this is the business of surrender. You came here and you find that things aren't going the way that you think they're supposed to go. That's because Krishna's making sure they don't go the way you think they're supposed to go. He's trying to frustrate you so you finally surrender. He's trying to frustrate all of us. And then when we surrender, then Krishna bestows his mercy. And we think, oh yes, of course I deserve this. You give me more. And Krishna says, oh wow, you're still not, still haven't understood. No, Krishna is making the arrangements so we surrender. And finally when we get enough intelligence to surrender, then we think we deserve everything for that little bit of surrender. Because we gave up what was tormenting us and tormenting others. Because we gave up our material misconceptions. We think now we become highly elevated. But that's also a misconception. So eventually Krishna will have to work on that one too. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for the lecture. So I wonder if you can give some suggestion. There is many. How to improve book distribution, like in quantity and also in attracting more people who are more open to the message of Krishna?
Simple question. How to do it? Well, become more Krishna conscious yourself. We're not just, you know, people don't buy the book, they don't go on the street and say, I wonder if everyone's going to be out here today selling me an ancient book on Vedic wisdom. You know, I always wanted to learn how to control my senses and mind and become more austere and surrender to God, to Krishna. No, people are not out there looking for our books, generally speaking. Some people are, but we haven't even started to create the atmosphere, but that would be possible. On the other hand, what we're trying to sell is ourselves. Our ecstasy in Krishna consciousness. What we're actually showing people is how enthusiastic we are about this process when we go out. So if you want to increase book distribution, increase your sadhana, increase your enthusiasm, increase your determination. And if you want to sell more books, then sometimes spend a little bit more time out selling books. You might sell a little bit more also. show. In order to sell, you have to show them. So keep on showing them. Eventually Krishna will send someone to take the book.
Show what?
Show the book. You don't show the book, they don't know what you're selling. Eventually show the book. Yeah, that was the one I was looking for. Wow, that's such a nice cover. So our enthusiasm, our determination, our patience, our reliance on Krishna, our endeavor, so many different factors. But if we really want to sell more books, find out from someone who's selling a lot of books. Learn from him, from them how they're doing it. And you'll learn how the art and the technique, how to do it. Of course, we have to apply it. Don't imitate. Try to understand the principle. And then apply it to our own personality. Otherwise, people will think, well, they got some machine out here selling these books. We try to just imitate. But if we apply from what others have already learned, then we'll become more successful in our endeavor also. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantarayam Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.